Good morning. Today's daf Mamasiyas Kuf Yud Beis. We are starting right up to the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Alpha Manal. We still have a little bit more to go before we get to the Mishnah. Just a quick definition of the Yisurim in the Torah of Gzela and Oshek as it relates to your workers. When you have a worker working for you, so the Torah frames the Yisurim in a number of different ways. We're going to be focusing on two of them, and that is the Torah says that you're not allowed to steal from them and you're not allowed to be Oshek. So exploit might be a good English word to describe it, but we are talking halacha. We're talking about halachic definition. So what exactly does it mean to steal from them or to be ma'ashik them or to, again, in English, I guess I would say exploit them. So the Gemara yesterday proposed a couple of suggestions. Rav Chista proposed a suggestion, and we start off with Rav Chista. So we'll start right in the middle of the Amud Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. It's a little bit of backtracking, but it gets us right to the answer. So Ezu Oshek Ve'ezu Gezel. So what's Oshek and what's Gezel as it relates to your workers? So I'm Rav Chista. Alech V'shov Alech V'shov Zehu Oshek. So if you just keep pushing them off, go and come back, I'll pay you just next time I see you, but not now. And you keep saying that, so that's an example of Oshek. And Yesh L'chabiyadi Ve'enonosin Lech Zehu Gezel. So if you say to him, look, I have the money, I'm just not going to pay you, so that's Gzela. So Maskev L'Rav Shesh is Ezu Oshek Shechayv Alav Torah Karban Domi Debikadon Dekakaf L'Le Mamona. So the Gemara says, no, can't be, because we also know that Oshek is written in the context of Kfira. You have to deny. The Torah, in the end of Parshas Vayikra, Perikei, so the Torah describes where, if you make a denial, and then you swear on the denial, and then afterwards you make an admission, you have to bring a Karban. So we know that Oshek has to have some sort of denial. So if Oshek is go and come back, go and come back, you're not denying anything, you're just pushing them off. It can't be the definition of Oshek. Oshek has to involve some sort of denial. Ela Amar Rav Sheshes, Nasati Lach Zehu Oshek, and Yesh Chabiyadi, Ve'ena Nosi Lach Zehu Gezel. So Rav Sheshes says, fine. So if you say, I already paid you, when in fact you didn't, so that's an example of Oshek. And Yesh Chabiyadi, Ve'ena Nosi Lach, and if sticking with the other, same example of Gzela, I have your money, I'm just not going to pay you. So that's an example of Gzela. Maskev La'abai, so Abai on this says, I don't buy this as well. Well, Gzela also needs a kfira. So if you're just simply saying, I have the money, but I'm not paying you, you're not denying, you're admitting. You're just also saying you're not going to pay him. But there's no kfira, there's no denial in there as well. So Abaye says, so here's what I think are our working definitions of Oshek and Gzela. When you say to him, I never hired you, period. Meaning, we never had a relationship, I didn't hire you. So that's an example of Oshek, and Nasatilach, and when you say, oh, yes, you did work for me, and yes, I already paid you, in fact, when you didn't, so those are examples, that's an example of Gzela. Okay, so this is going to be Rav Sheshes' definition, Abaye's definition of Oshek and Gzela. Both of them are denials. One is a denial of the employment altogether, and the other is the denial that that I paid you. Or not the denial, but the lie that I paid you when in fact I didn't. Okay, you're denying having owed the money. Well, Rav Sheshes Maishna Oshek DeKashle Maishna Gezel DeLoKashle. The Gemara goes back one step. Rav Sheshes, when he heard the first definition of Rav Chista, so the Gzela didn't bother him, but the Oshek bothered him. And quite frankly, what's the difference? So Amlecha Gezel DeKashle VaHadar Kafre. So the Gemara says, well, because by Gzela, it's very simple. In other words, an example of that would be where you stole from him and afterwards there was a denial. So the Gemara says, well, can we say the same thing by Oshek as well? So the Gemara says, no, really, they're not comparable. When the Torah describes the word Gzela at the end of Parshas Vayikra, it says, in other words, it sounds over there that there was an admission from the very beginning, meaning, yes, you worked for me, and yes, I owed you the money, and yes, I paid you. So Gzela, it gives this indication that there was an admission from the beginning. Avagabi Oshek Miksiv O Bi Oshek. The Oshek when the Torah describes Oshek, it doesn't say Bi Oshek, which means that we were involved in Oshek, but rather O Ashak Ksiv. The Ashak is the actual verb that he did. He, again, this doesn't work out in English, but he Ashaked him, meaning that is the action in which he did. Sha'ashku Kvar. So that's why there has to be work, at least according to Rav Sheshes, two different working definitions, one for Ashek and one for Gzela. Okay. Rava says, I'll tell you the truth. There really is no difference between Ashek and Gzela. you refuse to pay your worker. You deny owing them the money. You are going to be in violation of Ashak and Gzela. And according to Rava, the words are really synonymous with one another. Zeu Oshak, Zeu Gezel. It's one and the same, really. V'lam achil kan akasav lav or lav v'shnei lavin. So that when the worker does not pay his employee, so he's going to be in violation of not one, but rather two lavin. Ad kan. Okay. If you are renting, now when we're talking about the rental of a person, we're not really talking about the rental of the person, we're talking about the hiring of a person. But in this context, however, you have something or somebody employed for you, you are going to pay. Obviously, when it comes to an object, obviously we're talking about rental in the classic sense of the way you and I would describe rental. People, we don't rent people. In other words, that's employment. But in Lashon HaKodesh and Lashon HaTorah, the word schir is used for both. In both of those examples, whether we're talking about schar adam or whether we're talking about schar behema or schar kelim, so if you default in paying them for their employment for you, again, for a person it's employment, for animals and for objects it's for their use, but if you default in payment, I'll say delay, right? In other words, as we learned earlier, as long as you miss the morning of. So now you are in violation of the Torah. So you're going to be violating the following. Yesh ba mishum biyama titein scharo, v'yesh ba mishum lo salim pulat schir itcha ad boke. So you're going to be in violation of both psukim and devarim. Now, just a quick familiarity with the psukim. I mentioned yesterday I didn't go through the psukim. Now is the right time to go through the psukim. There are two sets of psukim in the Torah regarding failure of paying your workers. Once in Vayikra, Perek Yutes, and a second time in Devarim, in Parshas Kisetze, Perek Chavdalet. So first let's turn to Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yud Yimol, and the Torah states as follows. Lo sashak re'echa, so you're not allowed to exploit your worker. Again, it just simply means failure of paying them. Avalo sigzol, and you're not allowed to steal from them. Now remember, according to Rava Hainohach, it's the same thing. Lo salin pulat schir itcha ad boker. You can't leave the money of your worker by you until the morning. Okay, now, until the morning mean that you should be paying him overnight. If you're paying him overnight, when is he working for you? We learned this yesterday. I meant he worked for you the previous day. The Pasuk in Vayikra is talking about a day worker. He worked for you over the course of the day. He finished at the end of the day. You have the entire night to pay him. If you don't pay him until the morning, now you are formally in violation of the Pasuk in Vayikra. Now let's turn to Parshas Kisetze. Let's go to the Pesukim in Devarim. The Pasuk says, Lo sashok schar ani ve'evyon me'achicha. You're not allowed to withhold payment from the poor and the poor. Later this morning, we're going to talk about the difference between an ani and an evyon. What difference do they make? O migercha asher ba'artzecha. You're also not allowed to withhold payment from a ger, if you have a ger working for you. Bisha'arecha, who lives within your gate. And then the very next pasuk, you got to give him the payment during the day. You cannot let the sun set and not have paid him. Ki anihu, he's poor. And he really sacrificed for you. We'll talk about that later as well. And what he's going to do is he's going to call out to Shem, and you're going to have the sin. Ad kan divrei psukim in Parshas Devarim. Now, in Parshas Devarim, when is time of payment? Time of payment to Parshas Devarim is during the day. That means, when did he work for you? He worked for you over the course of the night. Meaning, after, in other words, you employed him for the night, and after the night's work, when are you expected to pay him? By the end of the day. That's what the Torah says when it says, "Biyomos itein scharo." You got to pay him over the course of the day. Velosav olav hashemesh, and don't let the sun set and not having it paid him. Okay.
It sounds referring to Oni. It's a special case, not to the regular guy.
Right. So we're going to discuss that later. But right. Okay. Right. In other words, we'll discuss.
Anybody.
I hear you. We'll discuss. In the meantime, so there are two sets of psukim: one in Parshas Vayikra, which is talking about the day worker, and one in Devarim, which is talking about the night worker. Okay. So when you are in failure of having paid your workers or renting animals or kelim, so you are going to be in violation of Biyamos Itein Scharo, and you're going to be in violation lo salam puot zchir itcha ad boker. Meaning, both of these psukim, day worker and night worker, day rental or night rental, are going to be in effect for all of these items. Is that a bit of a chiddush? Yeah, actually it is. Because where in the psukim do we see anything about zchar behema and zchar kelim? And once we find them in the psukim, how do we know that it, even though we, let's say we find them in, let's say we find them in Dvarim, and parenthetically, we are going to find them in Dvarim. They're going to be darshened out. Well, even though we know that they're applicable to Parshas Dvarim, how do we know that they're applicable to the psukim and Parshas Vayikra? Okay, so all this needs to be explained. Amasai, back to the Mishnah, Bizman Shetavo. Now, at what point in time are you now on the clock? And you have a deadline to pay your workers. Tviya, he has to make a demand of his payment. Lo tvao eino avarla. But if he doesn't demand it from you, so then you're not yet in violation of this iser. If let's say you redirect him to either the store or to the money changer, meaning you have a working relationship with the local restaurant, and you say to the owner of the restaurant, look, my story is as follows. I have a bunch of workers. Create a tab for me. Have my workers go to you. Feed them. And then I'll do good by you. Once you redirect your workers to either the Chenvani or to the money exchanger, so then you're not going to be in violation of these Isurim. Schir bezmano nishba v'notel. Now, if he demands payment within the appropriate time, meaning if he was a day worker the following night, if he was a night worker the following day, so, and he demands payment, and you say, what are you talking about? He is now entitled to make a shvua, and then once he made a shvua, he can collect. Okay? This is unusual. We don't normally have swearing and collecting. We have usually, and as far as the Torah is concerned, we have shvua and not paying. Okay, so this is unusual. This will be a good part of today's daf. If, however, the demand for payment comes at a later point in time, meaning, let's say he was a day worker, and the next day he demands his money and claims he didn't got paid, or he was a night worker, and the next night he demands his money, claiming that he didn't get paid, ain't no nishba v'notel. At this point in time now, he no longer has the right to just simply make a shvua in order to get paid, so he needs to bring concrete evidence in order to claim that he didn't get paid. If he could present witnesses that he did claim within the proper time, so then he's allowed to make a shvua. Ger Toshav, if you have a resident alien living in Eretz Yisrael, resident alien, he accepts upon himself not to be over to Avodah Zarah, he's going to eat Nevela. He's not a full convert. He's an alien. Legal alien, if you will. Right. So so the Torah, you hire him, he works for you, so the Torah demands that you pay him. Just as a technicality, he is going to be under the Isser of B'yomot Yitain Tzcharo, meaning the Psukim and Devarim, but he will not be within the Psukim of Lo Salim Pulas Chir Itcha Ad Boker. Okay. Adkan, that takes us through the Mishnah. So, and where we start off today is really an extraordinarily technical discussion. The truth of the matter is that if you have familiarity with the psukim, so all this will go pretty smoothly. But it's a very technical discussion in the Gemara right now. For the next Amud, really, in terms of which psukim apply to which types of hirings and rentals. Money must be sent to the Kamadach, and they may achich of a Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Our Mishnah is not conforming to the Shitas that we know. I mean, we haven't learned them yet. We're going to see them momentarily. Once we become familiar with the Shitas within the Braisa, we're going to try to plug in our Mishnah into any one of the Shitas, and it's not going to work. So, Amahi, so the Gemara says, now, let's introduce ourselves to the Shita. So, Ditanya. So, the Gemara says the following Braisa. Mei Achicha. Okay, so we're darshaning the words Mei Achicha. So, where do we find the words Mei Achicha? So, that's Dvar. Right? That's Parshas Kiseitse. Lo Sa Shok Schar Ani Vevyon Mei Achicha. So we are now in the Pesukim and Dvarim. So Prat L'Acherim. So the Isser over here does not apply to somebody who is not an Ach, meaning non-Jews. Gercha, Zer Ger Tzedek. When the Torah and Dvarim says Gercha, it's referring to Ger Tzedek, a full convert. And Bisharecha, Ze Ochel Nevelos. And anyone who is in your gate, so that's talking about the legal aliens, meaning the Ger Tosha I've mentioned in our Mishnah. So all this is teased out, darshaned out from the Pesukim of Achicha Gercha of Sherecha, these are all in Dvarim. Ainli Elas Chara, Daminayin L'Rabos Behem of Akelem. Fine. It's clear in the Torah that we're talking about employing people. What about renting animals? What about renting Kalim? Tamalomar bi'artzecha. Kol sheba'artzecha. So when the Torah says ba'artzecha, so that's a ribui, and it's talking about anything within your land. So, v'kulan. And then the Tanakhama continues. Over in b'chol ha'shemos halalo. They're going to be in violation of everything. Meaning, if you fail to pay your worker, Ger Toshav, Behema, Kalim, if you are in default of having paid any of these kinds of schirus, so you're going to be in violation of all these sermon in the Torah, both the ones in Dvarim and the one in Vayikra as well. Amru echad schar adam vechad schar behema vechad schar kalim yesh ba mishum v'yamoti tein scharo. So you're in violation of the Pesukim and Dvarim, v'yesh ba mishum ba talim pulat schir, and you're also in violation of the Pesukim and Vayikra as well. Now, how did the Tanakhama do that? Meaning, the darshaning took place in Dvarim. So how did he extend the Issa to Parshat Vayikra? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss that later on. That is all Shitas Tanakhama. So where do we stand with Shitas Tanakhama? That every type of schirus, for every possible, for anything that could be hired, is going to be in violation of every Isser in the Torah related to Schirus, both in Dvarim and in Vayikra. Now, next, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ger Toshav, Yesh B'Mishum B'Yamot Titein Scharo. The Ger Toshav is included in the Pesukim in Dvarim. Ve'im B'Mishum Lo Salim, Ve'im B'Mishum Lo Salim. But is not included in the Pesukim in Vayikra. And that makes sense, because the darshaning of the Ger Toshav is only in Dvarim, not in Vayikra. Ve'im B'Kelem Ein B'Hem Ala Mishum Bal Tashok B'Vat. As far as Ve'im and Kelem are concerned, so they are only going to be included in the Isser of Bal Tashok, and nothing more than that. Okay, period. So those are our two shitas, Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda.
What is really the difference between
It's a very technical discussion, meaning you're subject to Yisurim in one parsha, but not the other. Now remember, the difference...
It mean the same thing.
Well, the difference is one's a day worker, one's a night worker.
Yeah, but it means pay on time. That's what it means.
Okay, but I'm... Yeah, but if you're in Dvarim and not in Vayikra, so technically you're not subject to the Yisur of paying a day worker. Again, it's a technical difference. So money tanakama la demeachecha kasha ger toshav. So now let's go back to our Mishnah. Who is our Mishnah following? So it's a mystery, because if you want to line up our Mishnah like the Tanakhama, you can't do that, because according to the Tanakhama, the Braisa, Ger Toshav is subject to all these Surim. And if you look back at our Mishnah only includes the Ger Toshav in the Dvarim Pesukim, not in the Vayikra Pesukim. And he, Rav Yossi, Kashi Behem of the Kalim. And if you want to say that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yossi, the problem, of course, is that Behem and Kalim is only subject to the Isser of Lo Sashok, not to Biyomo. So, who is our Mishnah following like? So, after seeing the two positions in the Braisa, the answer is it's a mystery. So, Amareva Haitana, so obviously it's not option A, it's not option B, so there's got to be a C option. And that's what Rava tells us. Amareva Tana Tan Debe Rav Yishmael, Tan Debe Rav Yishmael, Echad Schar Adam, Echad Schar Behema, Echad Schar Kelem, Yesh B'Mishom. So, Tana Debe Rav Yishmael is where we're going to learn it from. So, when we're talking about hiring off people, animals, or kalim, so you're subject to b'yamot titein scharo and umishum lo salin. So the psukim of dvarim and the psukim of vayikra and ger toshav yesh b'mishum b'yamot titein scharo v'im b'mishum bal talin. And as far as the ger toshav is concerned, so you're only subject to the psukim in dvarim, but not the pasuk in vayikra. Okay, so. So far, all we've been presented are shitos amongst the Tanaim. We've given no analysis of the shitos. And all we know now is that, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, so our Mishnah is not representative of shitos Tanakhama, nor Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, but rather only the shita of Tan Debe Tanan Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. With all that now in mind, so the Gemara now wants analysis. Where do all these shittos come from? How does everyone arrive at their conclusion? So my time at the Tanakama. So the Gemara says, so let's start off with the shita of Tanakama. Now remember, the shita of Tanakama is an all-inclusive shita. Adam, Behema, Kalim is subject to the Yisurim of Dvarim and Vayikra. How did that happen? My time at the Tanakama, the Me'achicha, Gamar. So, I'm sorry, the Tanakama, the Me'achicha. So Gamar, Schir, Schir. So what he has is Xeris Shava. If you look in the Pesukim and Dvarim, so you'll see the word Schir mentioned there a number of times. Well, actually, the word Schir in of itself is only mentioned once, but that's all you need. So, Lo Sashok Schir Ani Ve'Avion Me'achicha, that's the Pasuk in Dvarim. And then the Pasuk in Vayikra, Lo Sashok Rechav Lo Sigzo Lo Salim Pulat Schir Itcha Advokas. So what that Schir does in both Parshios is it creates a hyperlink, it creates a Gzeres Shava, and it links the two Parshios together. So whatever is true by one is going to be true by the other as well. So in the Parsha Dvarim, where we have incorporated Schir Behema and Schir Kalim, so therefore it's going to be extended to the Pasuk in Vayikra as well. Put it simply, it's a Gzeres Shava. So the Gemara says, that's good. The Schir Schir, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, lo gamar Schir Schir. So the Gemara says, now Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, does not subscribe to the Gzeres Shava. Gzeres Shava is only something that you have as a Kabbalah Meirabo. You only have it as a tradition. So you either have the tradition or you don't. Shouldn't everyone have the same tradition? Sure. Yes. But, okay, that's, you know, the Rabbu Machlokas B'Yisrael, so they, so okay, so Nehid Elogam Eschir Eschir, Behema V'Kelem Mishum, B'Yom Titein Scharo, Nami Nechayev, so the Gemara says, fine. So Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to the Gzer Shava. I get it. But as far as Behema and Kalim, Behema and Kalim are mentioned in the Pesukim and Devarim, so Behema and Kalim should be subject to the Isurim the Isurim in Devarim. And meanwhile, according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Behema and Kalim, you're only subject to the Isur of Lo Sashok. But that's it. How did that happen? So Tani Rabbi Chananya, Amakrav Lo Savo, Lava Shemesh, Ki Ani Hu. So the Gemara says, well, if you read the Pesukim and Devarim carefully, you see it's only talking about a person. Why? Because Lo Savo, Lava Shemesh, Ki Ani Hu. So we're talking about poverty. Now, when you're talking about poverty, you're only talking about one of the three categories. Of the categories of Adam, Kalim, and Behema, who is subject to poverty? Only one of those categories. Ani hu, mi shein baim lidei aniyos v'ashiros, yatsa behema v'kelim shein baim lidei aniyos v'ashiros. And by animals, there's no such thing as poverty. By Kalim, the point is obvious. So therefore, in the context of the Pesukim themselves, it's clear that, according to Rav Yosef, that is, it's clear that that the only Iser of Lo Salin is applicable to Adam, not Kalim and Behema. V'tanakam ha'ikiani hu my avid lay. Now the Tanakam obviously didn't darshan that way. And quite frankly, it's a good drasha. I mean, you're right. The ani only applies to people, not to behemah v'kelim. So the Gemara says, "Homi b'ilei lahakdim ani la'ashir." As far as the Tanakhama is concerned, that pasuk was there to teach us a totally different point, and that is that in terms of prioritizing who to get paid, so in employment, sometimes the employer doesn't have all the money necessary, and so he's got to make decisions, difficult decisions, who to pay first. So under those circumstances, so the ani should become in front of the usher. Somewhat of an obvious point, but the Gemara will point out, you couldn't make an argument otherwise. It's difficult, but you can. So me by lakdim ani l'asher. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda ha'hu mi lo sashok schir ani ve'avyon afka. Now Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says, I agree, but that already is learned out from the Torah, when the Torah says, don't default on paying your ani ve'avyon. V'tanakam ha'chad lakdim ani l'asher, v'chad lakdim ani le'avyon. The Tanakam will tell me that both points are necessary. That if my choice is between ani v'ashir, pay the ani first. If the choice is between ani v'avyon, pay the ani first. Now, utzricha. Now it's necessary. Now before we get to the tzricha, what's the difference between an ani and an avyon? Rashi tells us. An ani is somebody who's poor, an avyon is somebody who's totally destitute. Okay. Interesting, by the way, Rashi says that the word avyon comes from the word ta'ava. not precisely, by the way, Tava's with a Vav, Evyon's with a Beis, but somebody who's really who really desires, because he really lacks. Okay. So the Ani is somebody who's just simply poor, while the Evyon is destitute. And here it comes in, here it's interesting. If the choice is between your worker who's an Ani versus someone who's an Evyon, the Ani should come in front of the Evyon. So now, why should that be? Tzricha. The Gemara goes on to explain. An Evyon, unfortunately, because of the position that he is in life, so for him, it is totally within his normal nature to demand and ask people for their money. Because he unfortunately has learned through his life experience not to have any shame whatsoever. But when it comes to the usher, so he's embarrassed. Meaning even though he worked and even though he earned it, but still, he's in a good position in life and he's a little bit embarrassed to ask for the money. So, I might have thought, therefore, that if I have ani v'ashir, I wouldn't necessarily go with the ani over the ashir. The ashir is just as embarrassed to ask as much as the ani, as opposed to the evyon, where really he has he is not hindered whatsoever for asking. V'yashmin an ashir mishum delot tzarich lei. And here also we can make the point in the other direction, meaning, look, if all the Torah would have just simply said is ashir over ani, I get it. The ashir has money. The ani doesn't have money. Pay the ani before the usher. But if I have a choice between ani and avion, so of course I should pay the avion before the ani. Avion needs it more than the ani. So that's why the Torah says, no, give the ani before the avion. And why should that be? Because the avion will have no inhibition of asking. The ani does. So therefore, the Torah wants you to be sensitive to that and pay the ani before the avion. So, according to the Tanakhama, that's what we do with all these psukim, and therefore the Tanakhama doesn't darshan out the psukim below Solon to be exclusive to Adam, not to Behem of Akela. Vatani Didan, now, after having analyzed the shitas of the Tanakhama and Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda, now let's go back to our Mishnah. Mana shachila yela schir schir afila ger toshav nami. So, if you have the Gzeres Shava, so then the So then Ger Toshav should be included in the Pesukim and Vayikra. And if you don't learn out the Gzeres Shava, so then how did you know that Behemah V'Kelem is included in the Pesukim and Vayikra? There's no mention of Kelem and Behemah and Vayikra. There's no drush for Kelem and Behemah in Parshas Vayikra. So lo yalev schir schir. So the Gemara says, according to our Mishnah, no Gzeres Shava. So no Gzeres Shava, so now we know that the Ger Toshav is limited to Dvarim and not included in the Parsha of Vayikra. And as far as the Behemah V'Kelem are concerned, so the Torah says, Lo Salin. And what does that include? Lo Salin Pu'ulas Schir. Anything that you hire, kol shepulas cheitcha. So anything that you hire includes behema v'kelim. So the Gemara says, "Yachi afilu ger toshav nami." Yeah, but you also hire ger toshav as well. Amakra reyecha. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but if you look in the pasuk in Vayikra, the Torah over there says reyecha, reyecha v'lo ger toshav." So that pasuk in Vayikra is clearly excluding somebody ger toshav. Yachi afilu behema v'kelim nami. So once we're in exclusionary terminology, why not include Behemah V'Kelem as well? Haksev Itcha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it also says with you. So Mari'it L'Rabos Behemah V'Kelem U'Lehotzi Ger Toshav. So classic question of the Gemara. We have a Ribui and we have a Miut. So why is it arbitrary? Now obviously it's not. Why is it not arbitrary? Mistabra Behemah V'Kelem Havalei L'Rabos. So the Gemara says it's more Mistabra. To include Behemah V'Kelem in the Pesukim in Vayikra, Shekein Yeshem Bechlal Mamon Re'eh. So the Ger Toshav in a Bechlal Mamon Reyecha. Itcha, because Reyecha includes both your lantzman and the possessions of your lantzman. You can't say that by Ger Toshav. V'tanakama de me'achicha hay Reyecha may avdilei. Now let's go back to the sheet of the Tanakama, where he learns it out from the words achicha. So now, what does he do with the word reacha? Because remember, according to the Tanakama, the Braisa, the achicha is telling me that it includes ger toshav, and it includes it for both dvarim and vayikra. So in vayikra, when the Torah says reacha, what do we learn from that according to the Tanakama? Ha'ami ba'ile lechidetanya. So the Gemara says, for that he learns out something else, which is reacha v'lo amaleki. Reacha to the exclusion of amaleki. And amaleki over here is an example. Amaleki does not just simply mean someone who's from Amalek. It means somebody who's an oved of Avodah Zarah. Reacha v'lo amaleki. Amaleki me'achicha Nafka. The Gemara says, well, that's what we already know. Then Amaleki is already excluded because the Torah says the words Achicha. Chad l'mishrei oshkov, chad l'mishrei gazlo. One is for an allowance of being ma'ashek, and the other one is for an allowance of being gozel. Meaning, according to the Tanakama, so there is an allowance to be both gozel and ma'ashek, someone who is an Amaleki. Now, remember, we discussed this back in Baba Kama. Kof Yud Gimel. Well, the Gemara also had the discussion as well. Truth be told, the Gemara over there had a debate. Also, truth be told, the halacha is that you're not allowed to be gozel akum, and you're not allowed to be ma'ashek and akum. But there is another sheet over there, and our sheet over here that says that you're allowed to will conform to the other sheet over there in Baba Kama. But as we learned back then in Baba Kama, I'm just reiterating right now, la halacha, it's asar. But right now, there is a sheet out there that says that it's mutter. Utsricha, the Gemara says, now it's necessary. Diyash, meaning, what's necessary? Both the limudim of, you're allowed to be ma'ashek and amaleki, and you're allowed to be gozel and amaleki. Utsricha. Diyash, meaning, gzela mishum delo tarach bay. Gzela, he didn't work for it. Now, in of itself, that's a difficult svar to hear. He didn't work for it. I mean, he owns it. Well, it's his. So, but it could be that, right. It could be that he stole it. It could be that he inherited it. It could be that he found it. Just the one the Gemara over here says is that he didn't work for it, meaning he didn't work for you for it. However, but when it comes to Oshek, he worked for you. So, there is more of a svar to say you shouldn't be ma'ashek him. He worked for you. And if the Torah only highlighted Oshek, so you could make the argument, well, there it's less of a chiddush because he never got the money to begin with. But gzela, where he has the item and you're taking it away from him, so there you can make a stronger argument that it should be prohibited. So tzricha, that's why the Torah has to go over both points. Again, just to reiterate, this is all according to the shita that it's mutter. Gzela sakam and oshek akam are mutter, but lahalacha, that's not the accepted halacha. Okay, very bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Hailo Salim Pulat Tzchiri Tchad Boker Mayavidle. According to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, the Gemara is crossing all T's, dotting every I. Meaning, how is each Tana going to deal with each aspect of the pasuk? So we are rounding out the whole discussion. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, who does not need the Psukim O Lo Salim Pulat Tzchiri Tchad Boker, because remember, according to Rav Yosef, the Behemah Vekelem is only for Baal Tashok. So what does he do with Lo Salam Pulat Tzchiri Tchad Boker? So my Avile, mi Baile Lecha Ravasi. So for him, he uses that to teach us a different halacha. Damar Ravasi, Afila Lo Scharo, Ella, Livser Lo Eshkol, Echad, Shel Anavim, Over Mishum Baal Talin. Even if I hire him to pick only one cluster of grapes. Tosos points out over here, the bottom Tosos on the Amud. When the Torah says the word schir, generally speaking, we would understand that to mean you hired him for the day or half the day. But in other words, a significant amount of work. If all I did was ask him to do a very quick job, that doesn't generally fall under the category of schir. So that's why Ravasi is teaching us that even if it's just a really quick job and a really short job, still, defaulting of payment is a violation of the Torah. Over Mishum Baal Salin. V'idach me ve'elav hu noseis nafsho nafka. Now the other Tanayim, they agree with that point. They derive it from the pasuk of he sacrificed. So davar ha moser nafsho alav. Anytime he sacrifices for you, you must pay him. V'idach. Now, what is Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda going to do with that pasuk? Ha'omi ba'ilei l'chetetanya. He learns out a different limud from that pasuk. Very top of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, which is ve'ilav hu noseis nafsho mi'bnei ma'ala zebekevish v'nitle be'ilan u'masar tzolos l'misa. Consider what he needed to do for you. Go up a ramp, hang, suspend himself from a tree, put himself in life-threatening situations. Why did he do that? So, lo al scharo, he did it to get paid. Now, it's interesting, by the way, it's kind of, in other words, generally speaking, when we have another limud to learn out, it's like a halachic point. This isn't so much a halachic point, seemingly. It's more like a hashkafic point. Like, come on, you know it's the right thing to pay him. Think about what he's doing. So it's interesting. What is the halacha generated from this point of the Gemara? I'm asking the question. I don't have a prepared answer. But it's not. Doesn't sound like a halachic point. It sounds a lot more hashkafic. Davar acher. Another thing to consider. Ve'elavu noseis nafsho. He is sacrificing himself. Kol hakovish chaschir ki'ilu notal nafsho mimenu. If you don't pay him, it is like taking life away. Taking life away from whom? The employer or the employee? Meaning, whose life is at stake if you don't pay the employee? Not so. I would have said that. I didn't even think it was a question. The Gemara is going to present two sides to this. Rav Huna, Rav Chista, Charamar Nafsho Shel Gazlan, VeCharamar Nafsho Shel Nigzal. The Gemara says Machlokas. In terms of whose life is going to be in jeopardy if the employer does not pay the employee, and the Gemara presents both sides of this. Mandamar Nafsho Shel Gazlan. We're talking about the thief. The thief over here is the employer. Not paying his employee after having worked for him. Dechsiv, al tegzaldol, ki dalhu, don't steal from a poor because in fact he's poor. The al tidke ani b'sha'ar, don't crush him. Uksiv, and then keep reading in the pasuk in Mishlei, ki ashim yariv rivam, because if you exploit the worker, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight on his behalf. The kavat kveyem nefesh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the nefesh of the one who exploited the worker. So the Pesukim in Mishlei actually presents very clearly that we're talking about the employer. But we could say it the other way as well, that the one whose life is at stake over here is the employee. Now, again, you don't really need a pasuk, but the Gemara has a pasuk to make this point as well. Also in Mishlei, you take nefesh ba'alav, meaning if you have somebody work for you and you don't pay for him, you don't pay him, so they're taking away his life. Now, what each shita is going to do with the other pasuk, so the Gemara is going to handle that right now. The word ba'alav could be understood not as the ba'alav of the worker, but the ba'alav of the employer. So, and what do you do with the pasuk in Mish, at the end of Sefer Mishlei, Perchav Beis? So what you'll do with that is say, Matam Kamar. The Torah is giving an explanation. The Navi, I should say, is giving the explanation. Matam Kavas Kavayam Mishim Dena Lo Nefesh. The reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take issue with the employer is because the employer is basically killing the employee when not paying him. Okay. I told you. That was an extraordinarily long and technical discussion in the Gemara presenting three shitas of which Isurim are subject to Adam, Kalim, and Behema, and Gir Toshav, the Pesukim of Vayikra, the Pesukim of Devarim, who extends, who learns Gzeir Shavah, who does not, and what does each shita do with all the various Pesukim and phrases within the Torah. Okay. Continuing the Gemara, we're right in the middle of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph at the two dots. Eino over alav. You're not going to be in violation. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana lo salim pulat schir yachol afilo lo sava'o. What if he doesn't demand his money? Tamalamar itcha ledatcha. No. Only when he tells you, I'm finished working, I'm now expected to get paid. So once he's itcha, meaning he's informed you that he needs to get paid, now you're on the clock. Prior to that point in time, you were not on the clock. Now, what if you don't have the money? You simply don't have the money to pay him. Sometimes businesses operate with poor cash flow. So you don't have the money to pay him. So you're not in formal violation of the Isser of the Torah. What if you redirect him to the local market or to the money changer? Meaning you have a working relationship with the market or the money changer where they are going to extend credit for you. They're going to feed him or give him money. They're going to come to you. Under those circumstances, once you allow him to go to the money changer or to the market, so then you are not in violation. Okay, continuing.
He is getting paid. So what's the
haver
that you should be...
Well, the havamina would be, what if he goes to the market and the market says, nah, not today. Okay. So, himchal itzuchan man mitzuchani eno over. Ibailu chozer o eno chozer. So now, he goes to the market, and it fits nicely to where the Gemara now is asking. He goes to the market, and the market, the store owner says, look, not today. I'm just not interested. Okay. So, chozer o eno chozer. Does he have the right now to return to the employer and say, hey, you know what? I got stiffed. Like, this is not right. So can he go back to the employer, yes or no? Now, this question of the Gemara really needs a lot more context. Tosos provides it. Look at the top of the long Tosos over here. We are going to just do the beginning, where Tosos really gives the proper context for this question. Hey, Chadamerle, ani pochrecha lagamre. So if, let's say, the employee says, I'm perfectly fine with this kind of relationship where I'll work for you and I'll go to the market and he'll give me. And he says, and I will exempt you under any circumstance, meaning whatever happens from this point going forward. So I feel a little yitain leap, shita de no choser. So if for whatever reason the store owner refuses to pay and honor this arrangement, so then the employee has already waived his right to go back to the employer. And Tosfos says, and we really have nothing to talk about. Because really what we're talking about is mechila. And there's no, you can't question mechila. Once you waive, you waived. And Ebi, I'm sorry, called me Mechila Ba'amati Ebi King and Elo. Ve'echida Amarle, Nami, Ani Pochacha, Im Yifarli Shochani. And if I say to the employer, well, look, if the store owner pays me, so then you're off the hook. But if the store owner doesn't pay me, I'm coming back. So pshita de chozer. So under those circumstances, of course, the employee can go back to the employer if the store owner doesn't honor this relationship. Kevin Dain Shochani wrote it litain lo. If the store owner doesn't want to honor this relationship, so then obviously the employee told the employer, I'm only good if I get paid. But if I don't get paid by the store owner, I'm coming back at you. So Tosfos says, look, those are excuse me. Those are the two extreme scenarios, and we know what the halacha would be in both of those. V'hacha, so now where are we in the Gemara? We're in the middle. And that is Mayri Kishamar Lehapol Stama Shiyasmoch al Shulchani. The employer says, go to the merchant, go to the store owner, he'll give you food. I have a relationship with him, and there was no waving, nor was there a threat of, and if he doesn't pay me, I'm coming back at you. And so because there wasn't a clear communication from the employee to the employer, so on stama, where do we exist now? Do we side with, there was an understood agreement that if you don't get paid, you're going to go back to the employer? Or, because you didn't say anything, you waive the right of getting paid from the employer. That, says Tosfos, is where the Gemara is in terms of asking this question. So, So here we have a machlokas amarayim. Amarabba menamin ala midiktani. Eino over alav. So Rabbi says, look at the wording of the Mishnah. If you send him to the Chenvani, or you send him to the Shulchani, you're not in formal violation of the Torah. What do you hear from that? Ma'avihu de lo aver ha-mahadahadar. Meaning, you're not violating the Issa Torah, but you still owe him. So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes Amar, my eno over, eno besoras la'avor. Where Masha'inkin, according to Rav Sheshes, what's meant in the Mishnah is that you are excluded in totality from the formal Issa and from the obligation to pay as well. Bamine Rav Sheshes Kaplan is over Allah Mishum Batalin, O Ainu over Allah, O Ainu over Mishum Batalin. When you're hiring a worker for the day, so we know your failure to pay, if it's a day worker the following night, if it's a night worker the following day, so you are in violation of defaulting on paying your worker. What if it's kablanus? You don't pay him per day, you pay him per the job. Kablan. Right? Like we say even to this very day. So if you're paying him by the job, and he finishes his job, and then you delay, is there going to be the same structure of the violations of lo salin? Yes or no? Umen kona b'shvach kliva alvayhi, o ein umen kona b'shvach kliva tzchiyosi. And the Gemara ties this to a very classic discussion regarding how we view a kablan. If I'm given a job to do, right? I'm going to build an extension to the house. So a kablan. It doesn't have to be that big a job. But if I'm given a job to do, and I'm getting paid by the job, not by the hour. So now, how is it that I'm getting paid? You really have two options. Option A. I did the job, I worked for it, and now, at the end, I'm going to get paid, just like a worker would get paid. So basically, I'm a worker, it's just that the conclusion of the job doesn't end with the hour, it ends with the job. But really, there's no fundamental difference. And the way the Gemara expresses that is, ein umen kone bishvach kli. There's no real kinyan that's being made by the kablan. He's just simply working, and it extends and finishes with the job itself. Or maybe no. Maybe the way the kablan works is really fundamentally different than the schir. It's not that he just simply works. He works and he acquires. And we know that because every kablan is making an improvement in something. When you're a kablan, you're asked to build something, to take a stone and to make it into jewelry. You are creating something. And maybe the way to view kablan is that you actually made an acquisition in the item in which you are working. And then, effectively, what you're doing is when you're returning the item, you're selling the item. And your profit and your payment is coming in the form of a sale. So now, we're really talking about the difference between wages versus actual sale. Now, if it's wages, we're going to be subject to all the Yisurim in the Torah in Vayikra and Dvarim that we discussed up until this very point in time. If we're talking about a sale, well, there's no deadline in terms of when you have to pay for a sold item. I buy an item from you, I owe you, obviously. But there's no deadline. I don't have to pay you today, tomorrow, the next day as well. Again, I certainly owe you, and it's a continuing obligation, but you're not in violation of Lo Salin and the Yisurim in the Torah. And the Gemara says, that really is our question.
So it's like a loan?
It's, yeah. In fact, the Gemara uses that very language. It's exactly like a loan. So, Amalu Rav Shesha is over. Va'atanya ain't over. So Rav Shesha says, over. Meaning, Rav Shesha says, I view it like wages. And therefore, even for a kablan, you'll be in violation. And we have a braisa that says, ain't over. So, hasam shim chal eitzel chanvani veitzel shechani. The braisa is talking about where you redirected him to a chanvani and a shechani, like we discussed earlier. Name him Isayel, we have a braisa, and it seems to support Rav Shesha's conclusion. Hanosin talis aloman, gamra vodio. If, let's say, you finished a talis, and you told him, afilo mikan v'adasar yamim, ain't no over mishum bal talin. Even for the next 10 days, you're not in violation of bal talin. However, nas nalo bechatzi ayom mishashaka alav chama over mishum bal talin. The moment you hand the talis over to its owner, you have now till the end of the day to pay. And if you don't, you're in violation of bal talin. Obviously, this is kablanus. You're getting paid for the job, not for the hour. And it says.
So why is it time?
Huh? Exactly. That, because this is Bryce is a support of Rav Sheshes. Because the way to view kablanus is no different than schiris. V'yamart umen kona b'shvach kli amai over. So the Gemara asks this question. If kablanus is fundamentally different, so you should not be in violation. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Mari, b'reda Rav Kana, b'garda d'sarvala. Well, the Gemara says maybe we're talking about a very specific job, and you are softening the garment. You're not really manufacturing the garment. You're not making the garment. You're just softening it. And so therefore, Kablanus generally assumes a creation and an improvement of an item, and right now the Gemara is trying to argue, well, you're not really improving it. The Gemara says, but that's not true. Lama yavini alei l'ruchuche, haynu shavche. He gave it to you to soften.
Something.
You softened it. That's an improvement. How can you argue that it's not? You're not getting paid for the job. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha deka agri minei levetushe bitasha ubitasha b'maasa." So the Gemara says, "No. Really, the truth of the matter is that you're getting paid not for the job and not for the creation of an item, but for basically pounding the item." See the last Rashi on the Samud, second to last Rashi, where he describes basically where it's an early stage of the garment production. Again, I'm not knowledgeable, so I read the Rashi, I understand the words, but I don't know from this. But basically, there is a early stage of the manufacturing where basically you're soaking it in water, you're pounding it, you're getting paid per every time you pound it, and so therefore this is not the payment is not for performance of manufacturing, nor is it for improving. It's just simply for pounding. You get paid every time you pound the item. So therefore, this is not considered umenkona b'shvach kli, and we could say all this, meaning, and that's what the Bryce is talking about, and that's why the Bryce is talking about you being in violation of lo salin. But we're just arguing, and we're saying that had it been a case of actual kablanos, so then you would... You will not be in violation of the lo salin. We can make that argument. But the halacha goes like Rav Sheshes, even for a kablan, we treat it like a seer in terms of the isur of lo salin. Adkan.